Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now. Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. This is the location. This is the spot. Where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp. There she is right there. Responses are never dull. This is Susan Dunn Peace. I like to call her Sarah. Where I get this? Sarah Peace. We had a great time, Brains. You know, she came out here to San Diego. We had lunch together. I got to meet her mom. I got to meet her dog. Had a great spirited conversation. Went to a great restaurant. But this is a very fascinating woman. Sarah has endured a lot. And as you will hear, she's had some medical trauma with her voice. But instead of letting that hinder her, she has let that propel her to become a speaker. She also is a kitchen coach. She loves to cook. But sometimes she has, you know, some issues with what she eats. So we're going to talk about that as well. And, you know, just life in general. What that brings us. Sometimes you're dealt a bad hand, but that does not mean you cannot win the poker game, correct?
Exactly. Correct, my friend.
So I'm so excited to have her. Sarah Peace, welcome her to the Edge, Brains.
Thank you so much, April. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited and honored to be here. It's such a joy.
Well, you know, we've been planning this for a while. We've had some, you know, some snafus with the scheduling, but we're here together now. Tell my brains a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
My pleasure. So I, as you said, I'm a speaker and a kitchen coach. And I've also dubbed myself the Joyful Life Advocate because my core values are joy, gratitude, and faith. And I find those best in the kitchen. I have been speaking for a little over 2 years. I've been a kitchen coach for a little bit longer. I was a private home chef for a little bit while pursuing my PhD in psychology. And as you said, I've had some medical trauma. So I'm a survivor of a congenital syndrome that I was born with. And I've had 35 surgeries. Wow. And as you mentioned, my vocal cords, this is my normal voice. I'm not sick. And I have paralyzed vocal cords. And through all of that, I found respite and refuge and joy in the kitchen. And now I'm on a mission to help others find confidence and joy in the kitchen and beyond.
Exactly. You've had 35 surgeries?
Yes, ma'am, 35. And I'm not quite 40. So a lot. I've been through a lot, hence the medical trauma, because, you know, who the heck wouldn't be traumatized after all of that?
Exactly. And, you know, trust. So for those that need to get any type of surgery, let her be your, you know, your template, not to be afraid. The recovery is just horrific. The cost associated with it, the time, the energy, you know, and trust. How do you begin to trust a medical doctor after all of those surgeries? Have they been beneficial to you? Have they really helped you sustain your quality of life?
That's a great question, April. Thank you for asking. I do kind of half and half. I do some energy, some God, some faith, some healing, some, you know, homeopathic stuff. And then I do rely on Western medicine because I'm here because of it. You know, I don't knock it. I do a lot of it on my own because I know how to manage my health. The greatest gift of having been so very sick when I was born is that as I've gone on, I've gotten healthier and healthier. And so that's been a blessing because unfortunately many people go the other way. And having started with that foundation, I've learned to listen to my body, to give it what it needs, to know what it needs, to feed it the way that it needs. I don't personally follow a specific diet. I know what my body needs and I feed it that. And doctors are very helpful, but I also believe that ultimately our health and our mindset and the quality of our life is ultimately up to us more days than not. Some days, of course, it's gonna suck, and I have days like that. But for the most part, it's an inside job, and I get a little help from the medical community.
Absolutely. So let's talk about you having, what did you say, not strained, what do you, you have paralyzed vocal cords.
Yes.
But then you opt to be a speaker. How did that work out for you? And that took a lot of courage as well, because a lot of people would say, oh, well, you know, I have this, or people that stutter, they say they have a speech impediment, or people that have had a stroke or you're not able to enunciate, those type of things, they go into a shell. They quiet their voice. But you didn't do that. You amplified it. Tell me a little bit about how you became a speaker. I'm so proud.
No, I thank you. I am not a quiet person. I'm soft spoken, but I've been told I have a big presence. And because of my journey, I have so much wisdom and love and joy to share. And that's why I became a speaker. I didn't wake up one day and decide, I'm gonna be a speaker. It found me. During the shutdown, a little over 2 years ago in 2020, I signed up for a speaking class online, and I fell in love with it. And I absolutely adore it. And thanks be to God, I think I do have a little bit of a gift with it. But like anything else in life, you have to practice and hone it and be willing, like you said, to be courageous enough to step into your gifts, because I think that that's when life gets really good. Of course, I have some concerns, and, you know, I have times when I don't feel as confident as a speaker, but that's when I just get quiet and still, say a prayer, let God lead and speak through me, because I know that he will. And speaking publicly is the number one fear of most people walking this globe. Most people would literally rather not be here than speak in front of people. And to prove that I was just a little different in a good way, I love it. I find it invigorating, because it's not about me. It's about sharing stories and sharing recipes and sharing wisdom and sharing joy and gratitude, so that the audience and anyone listening can walk away, hopefully, better than they came, with better perspective and more gratitude and joy.
Absolutely. And be hungry. So let's talk about you being a chef. Girl, you love to cook. You love to cook. Okay, so how did you find... I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions about that. One is, how did you find your way around the kitchen? And I'm sure that, you know, with your different type of surgeries and things, that you had to be on somewhat of a restrictive diet, because, you know, healing and preparing and all that kind of stuff. And then cooking for somebody else. Because, you know, you cook for other folks and they get strange. So those three questions, answer those for me.
Okay, so number one, I actually didn't eat by mouth until I was almost 4 years old. I was on a feeding tube. Ooh. I never put a bite of food in my mouth. Can you believe it, right? The chef, the cook, the foodie, the in love with food and everything about it. So basically, from my first bite at almost 4 years old, I pretty much haven't stopped. And I grew up in a family of foodies. We were that family that when we were sitting at dinner, we talked about breakfast. And when we were sitting at breakfast, we talked about dinner. And every major event was planned around, you know, food and the meals and what we're going to eat and what we're going to make. And food is love, you know? Yes. Food is love. It's communication.
Meditation.
Connection.
It's meditation. Absolutely.
And that's what I love. And because of everything I've been through medically, there's so much that I can't control about my body. I mean, every day is still April. Even though I'm better than anyone thought I would ever be, I still don't know one day or the next what my body's gonna allow me to do or not. And that can be very frustrating, but guess what? I come in here and I can control what goes on in here. I can control what I eat. I can control what I make. I can sit down to make a meal if I have to. I did that the other day. I was super tired, but I sat there at the table and made it anyway, because it's really about customizing your cooking for you and what you like and what you can do and growing confident in that. So I found my confidence in the kitchen. And your other question was?
Just, you know, cooking for other people.
Cooking for other people.
Because other people, you were a personal chef, and that's like me. I would love to have someone that could, you know, that would cook for me. Well, Mr. Magnificent does cook for me. I take that back. But, you know, just really people's likes and their dislikes and how much seasoning you can put in certain things. It's, you know, and maybe you're cooking for a family. That can be sure. So tell me a little about your experience.
So I lived with a family and I was the in-house chef and I did all the cooking in the whole house for everyone. And therefore, 3 to 6 times a week, I would prepare meals for 3 to 6 people, depending on who was home, who dropped in. And they had a huge family. And therefore, I cooked all of the meals for all of the big holidays. I put on Thanksgiving dinner for 32 people. And yes, that was a feat. I'm not going to lie. I started like the week before because that is not a 15-minute quick meal. But I learned so much, and it's so much fun. The thing I love about cooking, April, is that it's a way to serve people. What do we call people who work in restaurants? We call them servers. We call it the service industry. Okay, well, let's flip that. Let's come home in our kitchens, in our homes, and serve our families and serve ourselves. Because when you look at it that way, it takes away a lot of the chaos of it. When I was a personal chef, I loved customizing meals for what they liked and what they wanted. And I learned as I went. I will tell you a funny tidbit. The woman I lived with, when I moved in and started being a personal chef, she was a vegetarian. And when I left, she was not. I did not force her. But after watching me make myself chicken and fish and beef and all the good stuff, she was like, okay, I want to try it. So I did not force it upon her.
I was telling my granddaughters, you know, they were saying, oh, I don't like this, I don't like that. I said, well, you know what? You can prepare salmon 4 or 5 different ways. You can make chicken.
Yes.
4 different ways. It just depends on what you like, how you like it, and portion control. Let me ask you a question, though. Okay, so you're this personal chef. Did you also have to clean up the kitchen and wash the dishes, or was that the housekeeper's job?
No. I was the chef, and I had to clean it up.
Oh, cool.
Now, thank the good Lord, I had two dishwashers and a really big, like, farmhouse sink, and so it was pretty easy. I did not clean up after 32 people on Thanksgiving, no. No, no. I went to bed, and then I slept the next day. They cleaned it up. But on a normal night, I cleaned it up. And because of that, and because of my own medical issues, that's a lot of how I cook, April. I cook not only with the ease of the meal in mind, but the ease of the cleanup. Because as much as I love to cook, I don't want to be in here all day, every day. I have a life. I have friends, I have a dog, I have parents, I have things to do, places to go, and people to see, as I'm sure you do and everyone does. And so I think people, part of my mission is to help them rethink how they think about cooking, because it's not just about cooking, it's about serving it, enjoying it, and cleaning it up. Because most of us don't have housekeepers, let's be real.
I know. So now, what are 5 essential seasonings or spices or condiments that every household should have?
That is an excellent question. I love that. So I think that you always need some kind of acid, be it citrus like lemon, grapefruit, orange, limes, a vinegar or two, red wine vinegar, rice wine vinegar. You always need a good olive oil and a good regular neutral oil, like without flavor. And then as far as spices and seasonings, I think garlic powder, I think paprika, I like Italian food, so for me that's oregano and basil. But if you like Mexican, cumin and coriander, ground up, they're kind of orangey, yellowy colored. And then turmeric. People think turmeric is just, you know, Asian cuisine or Middle Eastern cuisine, but it's actually really flavorful. It goes with a lot of different things, and it really is so healthy for you.
Now, let me ask you a question, because I bought these supplements of turmeric. Girl, mm-hmm. I ain't opened them yet. Shame on me, because it was expensive. But I saw turmeric, and it looked like little worms.
They do.
In the grocery store. Okay, so I bought turmeric, garlic, and ginger.
Perfect.
Now, with the turmeric, do you peel it and grate it just like you would do garlic and ginger?
Yeah. They come in little, like, kind of pods. And so you have to, like, kind of get them out, and then you can grate them and peel them.
So do you peel the turmeric like you peel a ginger with a spoon?
You take the
sheeting off of it?
Yes, you can. Yeah, okay. You can.
Now, is it something that, you know, because I love garlic. I overdo the garlic, girl. I love that. But when you do ginger, I, you know, kind of grate it. Is turmeric something that's very powerful? Do you use it sparingly to taste a little bit and then gradually?
Everything you just named, you use sparingly because they pack a punch of flavor. And I don't know about you, but I don't like bland food. I do not make bland food. Mm-hmm. Okay, I love to taste everything. And turmeric, ginger, and garlic are a flavorful punch, like I said. And so a little bit goes a long way. But what's so great about getting in the kitchen and learning is you get to make how you like it. Like you said, you like garlic. So I would say to you, you probably know this, but if a client was new and they said, I'm not so sure about turmeric and ginger, but I know I love garlic, I would say, then go heavier on the garlic and lighter on the turmeric and ginger. Mm-hmm. And then add more of the latter two as you go and see how you like it. And then you get to know your palate. That's the fancy word for your taste bud. Mm-hmm. And what you like and what you enjoy eating.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now I use these. But also, people, brains, I need you to understand, sometimes your tummy is sensitive. Ginger is wonderful. I will just take a block of ginger, peel it, and hot water and lemon, no tea bag. It's very soothing. I heard turmeric, you can do the same thing.
You can. It's better to do it with, if you get like those little tea things where you put loose tea in,
right,
the little tea capsules, right, not a tea bag, but tea capsules, mm-hmm, and you get some powdered turmeric like you would find in the spice aisle at any grocery store or online, of course, and you put about a teaspoon of that in the little teapot or tea capsule. I personally think that works better, mm, because I feel like, first of all, not everyone has access to, mm-hmm, fresh turmeric, and it can be a little bit on the pricier side, and it can be a little bit intimidating. And remember, I teach my clients to take the intimidation overwhelm out of the kitchen, because the whole point is to enjoy the process, yeah, of making your drinks, making your food, and then consuming it.
And I'm telling you, like you said, flavor is everything. So what I've done is I bought some cheesecloth. And I love fresh basil and thyme. And, you know, I have all the plants I go and cut in the backyard. But I put it in these little satchels. And I put that inside of my gumbo, my stew, whatever it is.
Okay.
And then you can extract it, brains.
Sometimes
people don't like the, you know, like my husband goes, what is this stems?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's some good garlic. I mean, that's some good basil or some rosemary that I didn't chop up real fine. So take that into consideration. Now, when it comes to things like making drinks, do you make signature cocktail drinks too?
I personally don't drink alcohol. Just from a medical standpoint, it doesn't like me. So I stay away from it. But I make many mocktails. And I'm actually currently working on a short little ebook with a dozen mocktail recipes. Because especially in the summertime, I live in Vegas, so I live on the sun. But I feel like summertime is especially the time to have really refreshing, yummy drinks. And I have a Facebook group, April. It's a private Facebook group that I'd love for anyone to come be a part of if they would like. And I can tell you more about how to do that. I'm sure you'll tell our wonderful audience. But the whole group started literally with a mocktail that I posted. Mm. I posted a picture of my sparkling basil lemonade. Ooh. He was just talking about basil. And everyone, literally half my friends on Facebook, true story, they were blowing up my inbox going, I need that recipe, I need that recipe, I need, I'm like, okay. And that's how I started the Facebook group. So, yes, I cook and I bake.
Send that to me so we can post it on my Facebook page too.
Definitely.
Because I've never had that.
Yes, but that's how it started. And I cook and I bake, but I also make mocktails. And of course, any mocktail, you can turn into a cocktail. You just add a shot of rum, tequila, wine, champagne, whatever you like.
Well, that's good. So let's ask you some fun questions, Sarah.
Okay.
If you were an appliance there in the kitchen, which appliance would you be and why?
If I was on a plane?
No, if you were an appliance.
If I was an appliance.
In the kitchen, what appliance would you be?
Oh my gosh, that's an awesome question. To be honest, I recently purchased an air fryer and I was late to the game on that. And I totally was thinking, I'm not doing that. I'm a traditional cook, but I have to tell you, I love it. It's transformed my cooking. It's made it so much easier. Yeah. I'm still learning the hang of it, but it can do so many things. Mm. I would say I'd be a Spodioti air fryer or I'd be a microwave. And here's why, because it can do multiple things. It's flexible, it's quick and easy. It's pretty easy to figure out the directions. They're usually right on it, and they're fun to use, and they're efficient. Because
I bought Mr. Magnificent an air fryer 2 years ago. You know, it's still in the box.
Oh, my friend.
It will change your life.
Okay. And I have to say, really quickly, I don't have my own human children. And so being, you know, without kids, making smaller portions for myself and my mother, it prevents having to heat up the whole oven. And as much as I love the microwave, microwave chicken just not really that good. So air fryers are awesome.
I think I would probably be the Cuisinart mixer. I like to mix it up.
I love that. I know you like to mix it up.
I do.
I love that.
What is your favorite color?
My favorite color is green.
Mine too.
Oh, yay. I love that we have that in common.
I love green. If you had 3 wishes, Sarah, what would they be?
Honestly, April, I wish that everyone could live their lives every day feeling grateful and faithful and joyful, because it is the reason I am sitting in front of you. Those are the reasons I've survived and, more importantly, thrived through everything. And it takes work to do that, but I would wish that for everyone. My second wish would be a vacation in Western Europe, specifically Italy, Spain, and Greece, I love Mediterranean food. And my third wish would be that people know that they matter and that they're loved and that they're important no matter what. Even in our darkest of times and our hardest of times, and when life is so damn difficult, you still matter, you're still loved, and you're still important. Those are my 3 wishes.
Well, you are a gift giver for sure. You are a dream catcher. Not a dream cusher. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you, how to look forward to your ebook, some of your recipes, join your group. Yeah. I have a lot of your links. I'm going to definitely circulate them and get them out. But tell people how to get in contact with you, Sarah Peace.
They can find me on Facebook at Sarah Doan Peace, on my Facebook page, Sarah Peace Speaks. you can send me an invite. You can send me a message, and I'll invite you to my Facebook group because it is exclusive. And then I'm on Instagram at Sarah Doan Peace. So those are all the ways to get in touch with me. And of course, they can listen to your wonderful podcast and connect with you and find me there as well.
Well, Brain, she is an absolute gift, and she's here with us on the edge. Thank you so much for sharing
your
personal, intimate self, and also some great kitchen to-dos. Okay, so now I know how to use turmeric. I'm going to go in there.
Yes.
I have it sitting there looking at me like the other turmeric, and really try to get that going and learn to use my air fryer. So thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. May I say one more thing, please?
Absolutely.
So I kitchen coached live, which is wonderful. And I just again wanted to say thank you because you're a gift too. And your service to the world makes such an impact. And I'm so glad and grateful that I could be on your show. And I look forward to helping your audience and watching your journey and continuing to be a part of it as well.
Well, honey, I'm coming to Vegas, you know, so it ain't
nothing. Come on down. I'll make a meal, whatever you want.
And she'll make a meal. You know what? I want you to teach me how to cook a good lobster tail because I don't do that well either.
You got it.
It's
the deal, my friend.
All right. Brains, I need you to love, like, and share at this location right here. Love, like, and share because sharing is caring. Thank you so much, Sarah. I appreciate you, value you, and I'll talk to you soon, baby.
Thank you. Have a joyfully delicious day.
All right. Bye-bye.